Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome to this special episode of Radio Free Professional Wrestling, as we are coming to you just moments after AEW Big Business finished. We saw Mercedes Moné make her debut in All Elite Wrestling, and at the end of the show, she came out to make the save for Willow Nightingale, as Willow Nightingale was facing down Sky Blue and Julia Hart. And Ashley, I got a feeling that you're going to say this is one of the best AEW Dynamites we've seen in a while. How are you doing? And am I correct?
I'm doing okay, Sean. I think they've been on a roll for the past few weeks. I think kind of in anticipation for all the excitement they've built up around the show. And I think they definitely delivered. To kind of see Mercedes kick off the show, I think some people were still not expecting her to show up.
Well, you know, Ashley, I was happy that they brought her out at the beginning of the show. Earlier in the day, I was thinking about this. I thought maybe they would save her to the main event and we would only get her for that one segment. But as soon as I saw them bring the car out at the beginning of the show before they went to the full Dynamite intro, I was like, okay, she's open to show up. The fans got what they wanted. They got the 15-minute promo from Mercedes Moné explaining that she's here in AEW. She's home in Boston and she could be more excited to work with all the ladies in the roster.
Yeah. Yeah, given, you know, I'm imagining she was probably given about 15, 20 minutes or so to come out and cut a promo and everything with this being her first appearance and everything. Just talking about how she's excited to take on all the women in the roster, how she's excited to just be back in general, and kind of reading the interview that she had given, I think it was last week or over the weekend, talking about how her injury was almost career-threatening. It's very cool to see her be able to get back in the ring and get back into wrestling.
It is. Now, there's some people who believe that this promo, I mean, the show here, wasn't the best promo. It's not really one of her strong suits to me personally. I feel like she's more of an in-ring worker, and she's a very good character. Either heel or face, she's good. It's, to me, her promos don't always resonate, and this one seemed to me personally, it kind of wandered. She got lost there for a second and brought it back around, but I really want to chop it up to the fact that she had like 18,000 people chanting CEO as she's walking down to the ring. And I would be like soaking it in and getting lost myself if I was down here in Knoxville.
Yeah, definitely. I'm pretty sure she was overwhelmed with emotion. Like we said, just coming off that injury that she was told was possibly career threatening for her. And kind of just being immediately embraced by a whole new fan base. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, you know, get a little, like you said, a little turned around or whatever when you peek in. But I'm sure, like, once she kind of settles down, we can at least get a little more concise.
True. I mean, this is literally her first steps in AEW since back in the summer when she just appeared at All In London. And all we saw of her was her sitting in the crowd watching the show. So let's give her some time to see what she does in AEW. I, for one, is excited because this show felt like it got a dose of adrenaline into its soul, even though Cody Rhodes is not there anymore.
Yeah, I feel like this is, we've kind of seen like the anticipation for the debut of Mercedes with this turnaround for the women's division. I'm sure that's kind of what's facilitated it. But to kind of see everything kind of come together and tonight kind of be like their crowning moment for bringing her in and kind of, I feel like maybe turning at least a corner for this women's division, it kind of feels very good right now.
Well, with her addition to AEW, I feel like the women's division finally is going to be on an even playing field, an even par with the men's division. I feel like me, you both believed the last few years, the women's division has been sorely underutilized. They have been working their butts off trying to get better, each and every one of those talents. It was just literally they didn't get the chance to show what they could do. Now we have this red hot superstar in Mercedes Moné in the company, and she's going to make sure this company gives the main events to the women's every so often.
Yeah, definitely reading the reports that were coming out, I think she's kind of expected to be more of an overall face of the company and not just the women's division. So I know they have big plans for her coming up.
Well, let's move on to the first match of the evening. It's for the AEW World Title, as we see Warlow cashing in that opportunity that he won from the Revolution. And I gotta say, this promo package, they had a story time of Adam Cole seeing that study, reading the book, telling the story of how Warlord was going to win the title from Samoa Joe and bring it to his king in Adam Cole. That was a hell of a promo package. And it got me excited for this match. Now, Ashley, this match was good, but I feel like it didn't do any favors for Warlord because we're back to square one with him. It's on again, off again with this guy.
Yeah, kind of the same feeling I have coming out of it. Wardlow and Joe, like said, belt to belt in ring, very good match. It felt like such a big build up for Wardlow. Like it kind of felt like they might actually pull the trigger and put the belt on him. But it does just feel like a flat ending for Wardlow losing clean to Joe.
Exactly, and none of the Undisputed Kingdom comes down to even try to attempt interfering in this match. If I was Warlow, I would go back and go like, hey, Adam, where's my crew? I'm part of this crew, right?
Exactly. Like you said, I'm not exactly sure where Wardlow goes from here, though, no.
Exactly, because after this match was over, after we saw Samoa Joe basically put him to sleep again, here comes Swerve Strickland out, beating up some security with a chain, and we seemingly be leading our way to Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland, possibly at AEW Dynasty.
Yeah, I felt like they were going to hang on to Wardlow versus Joe for Dynasties, but I understand with the big, you know, the big business and the special Dynamite putting that on there. But again, it's just a weird flat ending for Wardlow, who's now out of the title picture, at least for the time being, with kind of no prospect at the moment.
Very true. We'll have to keep our eyes on Wardlow and where he heads next. Maybe they spin this where he gets kicked out of the group and he's the one that feuds with the Undisputed Kingdom.
That's possible.
Okay, so the next match on this card was the six-man tag match. Okada, the Young Bucks, versus Pac, Eddie Kingston, and Penta. And this match lived up to the hype.
Absolutely. I am so excited to see Pac back. Just, I've missed him so much. I'm glad he's healed up. I'm glad he's better. And all this leading to Okada versus Kingston next week, which is kind of crazy. Another match that I thought would be held on to for Dynasty. Seems like we're just, when you can just put these cards together on a weekly basis, I guess you just do it.
You know, I'm right there with you because I feel like we were both penciling this in for that AEW Dynasty card in St. Louis. We're going like, okay, so we have Brian Danielson versus Will Ospreay. We're going to have Eddie Kingston versus Okada. We were already happy to hand over $50 to Tony Khan for this pay-per-view. But now we get Okada versus Eddie Kingston for free, which is going to be freaking amazing.
Yeah. Again, kind of nice to see them kind of build up some stuff. And we have some logical matches coming up for the week that get announced, you know, in advance, which is something AEW sort of struggled with. But good to see them keeping up with it at least. I'm so excited for this. I don't know if they pull the trigger and put the belt on Okada right now. I could see them doing it for sure. I could see that happening. And then as much as people don't want it, and we've had our thoughts about the tag team tournament, but I could see like the Young Bucks pulling it off and winning, and then Okada being the Continental
champion. Well, you know, you got this new version of the Elite, and I feel like this is going to be the quote unquote top heel faction in the company. So I got a feeling that maybe the Young Bucks are going for those AEW World Tag Team titles. And I could see Okada getting this Continental title off of Eddie Kingston next week. Now, this match ends with Okada hitting the Rainmaker on Eddie Kingston after Nicholas Jackson nails a low blow as the referee is distracted. And we get Okada with a pinfall victory over Kingston as we head into next week.
Just a very good trios match. How could it not be with the talent in the ring? Again, very happy to see Pac back and very excited for Kingston and Okada next.
Very true. I can't wait for next week. I can't wait for this next match we're going to talk about. It's Darby Allin versus Jay White. And here's Darby Allin 10 days after AEW Revolution, 10 days after going for that plane of glass off that ladder. And Jay White opens up with two basic side headlocks and two take him down to the ring mat. And Darby Allin is just selling like no other. his back is all torn up and his simple moves are causing him pain.
I don't know how much of it is selling anymore. I think it all just might be just real for Darby at this point. Yeah, I loved this match, but these are just two top dudes on in AEW. Darby Allin is just a madman taking these bumps 10 days after that. The bump where he got thrown over the stairs into the barricade, just flat on his back. Like, your back is so messed up. Please don't take these bumps.
You know, that was right after he basically took a double underhook suplex into a steel chair against the guardrail. And I was going like, Darby, you're about ready to go climb Mount Everest. I don't think this match is going to be the best thing for you.
I would say I hope he rests up until he goes to the mountain, but I feel like he's going to go drive his Jeep off a ramp again or something in the meantime.
You know, watching this match, you kind of notice Jay White slowly through this match getting slightly more heelish than he has been in a while. We kind of got used to this babyface Jay White. We're going like, this is kind of weird. Jay White's never been really a babyface. Well, by the end of this match, good old Hill Jay White is back, and we're rejoicing in it.
Yeah, I'm glad to kind of see the heel side of Jay come back out, especially with kind of like what happened after the match.
Well, the match ends basically. Darby Allin is on the outside. He barely makes it back into the ring before the count, right into a blade runner. 1, 2, 3. Clean win for Jay White. And you think, okay, cool. We're going to move on to the whatever's next for AEW big business. No. Jay White rolls out the ring, gets a steel chair, gets the steam back that Darby Allin had, and he's going to play batting practice on Darby Allin's ankle. And who comes out to make the save for Darby Allin? But it's the Acclaim. Wait, the Bang Bang Sister Gang are kind of at odds over Darby freaking Allin?
Civil War.
So we get the turn here. Like, Billy Gunn is just laying into Jay White, and out of nowhere, Billy Gunn spins around, Jay White nails him with a chair, and the Gunn brothers, they turn heel on their dad twice in nine months?
Yeah, about that. We've kind of seen the tension between them over the past couple of weeks, so it makes sense. I felt the tension seemed a little bit more between Max and Jay, so I'm surprised they didn't kind of go with that side of it, but I'm kind of torn. I want them to do this well, but I feel like we need to do something with these sets of trios titles. These are two really great trios teams, and we haven't done too much with either set of these championships recently.
Okay, so actually, I feel and I hope this is leading us to unification between the ROH six-man titles and the AEW trio titles. We just need one set of belts. We don't need two six-man tag team champions in this company.
Right, or actually put them back on ROH.
Imagine that. ROH titles on ROH TV, on Honor Club. Imagine that. Crazy idea.
Yeah, I know. We spoke in, was it like the week of All In and All Out and stuff about the usage of ROH titles on AEW TV, and it has been kind of like more consistent since then. And I think it's hurting Ring of Honor like so badly that I don't know if Tony really understands what he's doing.
You know, he had an idea when he first started. He wanted to have two separate companies and he was trying his best to do it. And he couldn't get a TV slot for ROH TV. So what better way to bring attention to ROH than putting ROH champions on AEW Dynamite? Which is good if you're going to still have sets champions on ROH TV on Honor Club. Second part of that plan didn't really work the way Tony thought it was going to work.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really promote them being on Honor Club and have justify people paying for it when you're just putting all their matches free on Dynamite and free on Collision.
True. So we got to say, personally me, I feel like the next match was the low point of the show, and it's Lionhook. We get Chris Jericho teaming up with poor Hook, who has fallen into the Vortex of Jericho, and they're facing the gates at Audi.
Vortex of Jericho. Stuck in it, man. I don't know. I'm not sure what this is. This feels very Jericho wanted to do this. So we're doing it. I feel like I feel like everybody is kind of on the same page and needs a break from Jericho. And I feel like you can kind of see it in the reactions that he gets. I think one of the saving graces of his entrance was the Judas theme, that people would still sing along with it, but not using the Judas theme has kind of really shown that his reaction isn't really all the best. I think people are just burnt out. It kind of seems like he starts up something and sometimes through no fault of his own, it kind of fizzles out or something comes off. Somebody gets injured, something that comes up, something like that. But I feel like he's struggling and I feel like he needs to take a break. And I feel like we all need a break.
Well, honestly, I feel like Jericho fatigue is a thing. And this last couple of weeks, it's really hit me hard personally. I mean, I used to be a former Jericho-holic. I really do enjoy Chris Jericho. I just wish he would go away and do what he does best, reinvent himself. But I feel like maybe in his mind, he knows that he doesn't have that much longer to be as an in-ring participant, and he wants to do all the matches he wants to do before he decides to hang it up. I was just happy that Hook got the submission win here. Hook got the win. He's the one that got the win for the team. And next week in Toronto, we're getting Hook versus Jericho. And dear Lord Jesus and all your mighty power, can Hook win this match?
Yeah, I could see that if Jericho is close to retiring or, you know, even thinking about cutting down in-ring time overall. It's tough. I feel like all of his storylines have kind of like fizzled out and people haven't been really that into them in the first place. And I feel like he's kind of struggled to find a spot in the past couple of months. I'm pulling for Hook next week. So I'm hoping that he wins and maybe either this kind of puts Jericho either out for a little bit or kind of trigger something that we get some sort of change or shake up with his character at least.
Or the worst case scenario, Ashley, there's that AEW tag team tournament coming up.
Oh no.
Okay, I might speak this evil into the world here. I do not support this evil, but Hook beats Jericho next week, gains Jericho's respect, Lion Hook enters the tournament.
I can see that happening too. Especially now knowing that that the Workhorsemen were supposed to be a part of it, but Anthony Henry is going to be out for a while with a broken jaw.
Well, we want to send out a speedy recovery and all the best wishes to him because he posted to his Twitter account literally last night with a very bad looking x-ray of his face where his jaw was broken, and we want to wish him all the best.
Absolutely. That's a scary.
Okay, so we made it up to the main event. And going into tonight, if you told me, Ashley, Sean, name the main event of this card, I wouldn't pick Willow Nightingale versus Rio as the main event. I love these two girls. They're very good wrestlers. But you had the world title match. You had the six-man match. I literally would do the six-man match as the main event. That's what I was thinking. Then you would have maybe 15 minutes left in the show, and Mercedes-Benet comes out. We end the show with her facing down, who knows, like Julia Hart or somebody, but we get this match, and this was a fun match from the get-go.
Yeah, very happy to see the women get the main event spot. I know it's kind of weird to see this. It was kind of weird to see a random like singles match headline over the world title match, but in AEW, I will say, I do think they kind of done a good job since their inception at making the opening match feel most of the time as important as the main event. So not like a terrible spot or anything for the championship spot. But it was a nice way to get Mercedes on the show at the beginning. We kind of had her like have a little spot in the middle where she's shown in the back speaking to Riho for a minute to kind of get her a little in there for a minute. And then kind of have her come out and make the save for Willow at the end to kind of have her be able to close out the show.
Yes. Now, there's one crazy spot where we saw a dragon suplex by Riho to Willow Nightingale on the hardest part of the ring, as they say, the ring apron there outside the ring. And I was like, oh my word, she pulled it off. Then we saw Willow actually picking up Riho here and spinning her around for that Dr. Bomb to win the match clean 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. And we see the sign of respect at the end of the match where the ladies are hugging. Then the lights go out. And that could mean only one thing. Julia Hart has made her appearance, and the Princess of the House of Black has her title and Sky Blue with her, and she's ready to stare down the so-called number one contender, Willow Nightingale.
I was very excited to see Willow get the win. Sometimes I Riho is always like a top female contender and picks up a lot of big wins, but I'm glad to see them kind of keeping Willow's momentum and giving her this win. And man, when this started, Julia Hart has been, aside from those few weeks she was out injured, she's been fantastic with this character and this championship run. I'm very excited to see her versus Willow. I'm thinking, kind of like you were mentioning beforehand, that we will get like a tag match before anything.
Okay, so announced during this show, Mercedes Moné is going to make another appearance next week in Toronto. I get a feeling that Julia Hart and Sky Blue are going to come down and cause some trouble, and we're going to get Willow Nightingale return to favor for the save, and eventually, either the following week or at AEW Dynasty, we get the tag match between House of Black, Julia Hart, and Sky Blue versus Mercedes Moné and Willow Nightingale. And I feel like this is a perfect way to bring Mercedes into AEW, have her first match, and it's not a singles match. We'll save that for a minute. We can have that for like Double or Nothing. And this way, the faces win, Willow can go face Julia Hart for the title, or who knows, you can have Mercedes Moné versus Julia Hart. And at one point in the show tonight, in the center of the ring, could you just we saw it. It's Julia Hart and Mercedes Moné staring each other down. Who had that on the bingo card for 2024?
I'm guessing not Julia Hart.
I mean, look at this. Is Julia Hart, who started out as cheerleader Julia Hart 2.5 years ago. She enters the House of Black, has worked her butt off, and she feels just as important as one of the biggest female stars on the planet.
I think she's been killing it with the character, like I said. And I'm hoping we do the tag match maybe at the pay-per-view, but maybe beforehand. With the way they're kind of putting like Okada and Kingston on a random Wednesday, you know, maybe they'll give us that tag match on like a Collision or something beforehand.
Oh, you said Collision. Speaking of Collision, we're getting Kyle O'Reilly's first match in 2 years on Collision this weekend against Brian Keefe.
Yeah, what a comeback match.
I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm ready for a Collision. I can't wait for Saturday to get here. And backstage tonight, we saw the promo, and here comes Roderick Strong out going, hey, you know what? We're cool. You want to do this on your own? That's fine. We wish you well. Fist bump, fist bump. And a United Kingdom leaves the scene. I still got a feeling maybe we'll get to see Kyle O'Reilly come back to the family maybe one day.
Oh, I think they kind of planted a little bit of seeds, because Kyle seemed a little nervous when he was talking about, I'm doing this on my own. Yeah, on my own. Like, it's like, wait a minute.
Maybe I should think about this a little bit more. Maybe I should keep that shirt they offered me like last week at Revolution.
Yeah, I could definitely see him eventually, like at least I would say like in the next couple of weeks, like changing his mind. I feel like kind of like that bond like him and like Adam Cole and Roddy Strong have is like just going to pull him right back in.
You know what? Perfect idea. They kick Willow out for losing the match tonight. They bring in Kyle O'Reilly and we're back in business. And then we can have Willow as a babyface face the United Undisputed Kingdom.
I could definitely see them doing something like that, especially with Kyle coming back. I don't want it to hurt Wardlow though. That is, I would be worried about that, about like kind of him like switching again. But if they can do it right, him like plowing through like the kingdom would be hilarious.
2-1 handicap match, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett versus Wardlow. That'd be interesting. It'd be a fun match. I would want to see that. That'd be cool.
They would make him like $1 million too.
And they could. I mean, Mike Bennett and Matt Taven are hell of wrestlers. They can make him look like $1 million.
Yeah, as they've kind of shown out, kind of in singles matches on their own over the past few.
Well, I feel like we both agree this is a very excellent episode of AEW Dynamite. But Ashley, I do have to ask you a question. What is your good, your bad, and your ugly from this episode of AEW Dynamite?
All right. So my good, I think, will be kind of fairly obvious. The debut, the arrival of Mercedes Moné here in AEW. Just what it has done already in the wake of like her being signed and them preparing for her, and what it will do in the future for the women's division is just immeasurable.
Okay, so my good, I'm going to this six-man tag match, just having Pat back in action and be able to see him in the ring. And we get these hints that him versus Okada is coming down the road. And since now we get Eddie Kingston versus Okada next week, my prediction for AEW Dynasty is Pat versus Okada.
I need that.
I'm like, hook it into my veins. Hook it into my veins. So, right. Ashley, we did the good. Let's go to the bad. It was there, but needed a little help to get over to the top.
I don't know if it's kind of bad in that sense, but we lost our group tonight. R.I.P. Bang Bang Sister Gang.
No more Sister Guns up. I'm kind of heartbroken.
Nope. Right. I feel like I'm happy to see Heel Jay come back out. It was kind of weird to see him as a babyface. Not a weird bad, just weird in general. But to see him kind of be just what he does best, this like dastardly heel, I'm very excited for that. But R.I.P. to the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. I will miss
it. You know what? I'm going to co-sign this bad here because I got fooled. I was like enjoying this babyface Jay White. I was like, this is kind of cool. I should have realized it at AEW Revolution Zero Hour when he becomes uber babyface Jay White. Like, all you lovely people here in Greensboro. I should have knew it.
Ugly now.
Ashley, I'm going to go ahead and ask the most, what I want to say here, the most crazy question I could probably ask you, because I probably know the answer to this question. But Ashley, from this episode of AEW Dynamite, what was your ugly?
We talked about it already, and it's the Jericho hook in Gates of Agony. And it's certainly not a knock on Gates of Agony, who I thought, again, looked fantastic. The newer gear looks great. Their kind of cohesiveness has come a long way. I think they look really good together. Like I said, we all need a break from Jericho.
Yes, Jericho fatigue is a real thing, and I'll co-sign this ugly, and somehow the vortex of Jericho has brought Hook into the cycle, and now the Gates of Agony. We just need this agony to end here and Jericho to take a nice little vacation.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, listen, that's been your special edition of Radio Free Professional Wrestling as we look at AEW business. We'll be back here on Sunday evenings. And until then, Ashley, where can we find you on the super information superhighway?
I'm on Twitter, and it's @groovy_ash_.
And you can always follow the show on Twitter at Radio Free PW. We're also on TikTok, Instagram, underneath the same handle. If you miss an episode of Radio Free Professional Wrestling, go over to www.RioFreePW.com to catch up. And here comes the new, I guess I'll go back to the old ending to this show here. Ashley, until we see you this Sunday for another episode of Radio Free Professional Wrestling, Ashley, everybody, stay stunning.
This is Sergeant Arms of Christina on behalf of the guys. Thanks for listening to today's show. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a review. Until next time, the liberation continues.